bucket of water and declared the birth of art.
CQUT takes this as a yearly opportunity to celebrate the love of art and community radio.
This piano piece may well sound ordinary to you, until you realize that it was taught to young Chloe just last week by Janet, who's still teaching at 81. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Hey, you. Come over here and listen.
Oh, God, I'm so fucking wet. Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Like that. Oh, God.
You can't hear me.
I would love your cock to be inside me. Oh, God, I'm really gonna come. I'm really gonna come. Oh, God, I'm so fucking wet. Can you see how wet I am? Can you see how wet I am? Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
It's time for Audio Smith. It's time for Audio Smith. Smith, Smith, Smith,
Smith, Smith, Smith.
A queer, feminist, trans positive radio show about fucking in all its forms.
People have five fingers.
Let's not beat around the bush. This show contains explicit sexual content. So turn the volume all the way up.
Oh, that was so hot. I'm gonna pee for you now. You ready? Yeah, you wanna watch me pee? Oh, yeah, I'm gonna pee. Yeah.
Audio Smut, where we whisper all the dirty little fantasies and secrets in your ears.
Baby, come closer.
I like to finger
I like fuck. It when it hurts a little. Sometimes I like it when it hurts a lot.
Thought about fucking them for ages.
I just want to hear you say,
and then I
fuck me,
it.
Over and over again.
The sound of you moaning drives me fucking Spank crazy.
You.
Fuck the gender, please.
Spank me. Spank me.
Push me up against the wall and stick your dildo inside of me.
Let's just talk dirty to
Science fiction, fan fiction,
cyber sex,
role playing.
The taste of a sweaty girl in my mouth.
I love your scars and the
can
way
I
they look.
Put on your gloves.
We're fucking.
Can I put on your lipstick?
All I can think about is your asshole. Kiss
Let's
my
play
neck
dress up.
And blow soft.
Nipple torture.
I love waking up.
Spread your cheeks wide for me
in bed.
And let me in.
You giggle.
Make me come. Make me scream. Make me listen.
Hi everyone, it's about 6 o'clock. I'm Minuit and you're listening to Audio Smut on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are February 2nd, it's Imbolc, a Gaelic celebration about the return of the light. about the first flame. It's an excellent time to set intentions about seeds, the seeds that you're hoping to sow in the summer and the fall. And for that occasion, our show tonight is called The Art of Eros, a Shame Remedy for Broken Hearts. In this show, I'm interviewing artist, the queer erotica artist, Sarah D'Souza, aka Queer Montreal. We'll talk about being a public erotica artist, the importance of queer sex representation, and the importance of healing shame in relation to our desires. Sarah D'Souza is a queer Portuguese-Canadian artist living in Montreal. She is the artist behind Queer Montreal, an erotica art account that showcases our illustrations of real queer sex as she sees it and experiences it. We invite you to go and follow her work and discover her art. In the second half part of this show, Miss Eliam presents you a music mix for broken hearts, hoping that it will bring some comfort to all the sad and confused babes out there. So we hope you enjoy this show. You can find us on Instagram at AudioSmut or on Mixcloud. Same name, same address. We are also on Facebook. Please let us know what you think of the show. If you have any inputs, questions, or concerns, we are here to listen to you. And if you want to share anything with us about shame and about like what kind of desires you want to see come forth in your world and what kind of desires you want to nurture and maintain and create in this occasion of Imbolc, anything that you want to see new sparks and initiative arrive in the next weeks for the spring to come in the summer that we are trying to envision right now. It's still really cold in Montreal, still in the second year of pandemic. Well, let us know. We want to know all about you. So hoping that you will have a nice evening and enjoy the show. Okay, so yeah, can you talk to me a bit more about yourself as a neurotic artist and as an artist in general?
Sure. I've been making art my whole life. I've been making erotic art probably just as long. Like, I started in high school. I was doing a lot of erotic art there. And it's kind of gone back and forth. Like, I do acrylic. I've done watercolor. I've done embroidery, 3D art. And erotica was always just something that I did on the side, but with pandemic, it started to be a little bit more my main type of artwork, mostly because I think, you know, like a lot of people, I was just craving like contact with other people during the pandemic. We weren't really able to connect with each other physically, and it just became this really great outlet for me to connect with the queer community and with myself and my body. Yeah,
I think a lot of people can relate to that. That makes a lot of sense. And how does it feel to create erotica in the public world?
It's still something that I'm dealing with or thinking about a lot. Just because I think that it's important that people see queer bodies and queer sexuality shown. There's a lot of stuff out there that isn't, I think, reflective of what's actually happening, with queer people and queer sexuality. And I'm mostly drawing what I see or what I've experienced or what I think most of us are experiencing and what I look like and what the people that I've been with have looked like. Like, there's a pretty, like, white, thin, mainstream vision of, I think, like, mostly femme, like, sapphic erotica. Like, mm-hmm. If you look at, like, lesbian movies or, like, the mainstream stuff that's out there right now, And it's great that there's stuff out there, but it's not reflective of what I'm actually experiencing. But I do think that a lot of the content that I'm making gets banned, and most of the stuff that gets banned, at least off of Instagram, is like fat people or, you know, close-ups of nipples and things like that, which isn't new. I know a lot of people are dealing with, like, the censorship, but it's something that I think about a lot because I also do have, you know, a day job. I have a regular job. I have people in my life that I didn't tell about this account at first and this artwork because of those reasons. But I think the fact that it's making me uncomfortable and it's making other people uncomfortable is probably a sign that it should be out there. Yeah.
And how have you indulged? Did you talk about the people that you're talking about after that? How was that conversation?
It was a lot more positive than I thought it was going to be. I mean, for me, when I first started the account, I did plan on being anonymous. And that was just mostly because of my own comfort. You know, I was making these during pandemic. I had a lot of people in my life that I was sharing them with. But I wasn't sure if I was able to let go of the shame and just show it to everyone. But it's mostly been really positive. I think people are craving this kind of content. I think this is what people are experiencing, and we want to see ourselves depicted in artwork, and we want to see ourselves and how we are, you know? And showing it for me has been really good and really therapeutic, and I think that people probably feel a little bit like me. Every time that I share it, I think that's why it resonates with a lot of people, is because we want to see it, but there is a lot of shame in society and in just the general public about queer sexuality, queer bodies, and what we're doing, you know? So the conversations that I've had with people have been mostly positive. Even like with people at my work, for example, I've been trying to be more open at my work, at my job, about what I do. And those conversations have been interesting because there's this idea that, like, you know, you have to be professional and you have to be almost asexual at your job, right? Mm-hmm. Or almost without a gender, even, like, you're just a worker. But we're all having sex and we're all sexual, even if we're asexual, or, you know, we all have that side of us. And being able to bring that into both sides of my life has been pretty good. It has been helpful to me, I guess. So I try to see it that way. If it's helpful to me, then it's probably helpful to other people.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is what qualifies for me as good art. Like, if you are authentic with your own process and that you're showing up for things that are important for you and going deep into yourself in your creation, I think that it's definitely going to resonate with other people, and the connection between the public might be even more, yeah, more authentic, or at least more vulnerable, and people are really excited and eager to see vulnerable art that speaks to them, especially in terms of representation. And I think we can definitely see this with the reception that you've been having with sharing those drawings. And I'm very curious about what helped you to move through shame in regard to sharing your this part of yourself online publicly.
What helped me?
Yeah, what is there anything that, like, helps you through with your journey with shame, or was it just doing
it? Honestly, it started with just doing it on my own. And I think for a long time I was trying to convince myself that that was enough, and that sharing it with my close friends was enough. But I found that the more I go along with it, the more I connect with people. And I know that's been a theme for a lot of people because of the pandemic. And I think we're, you know, we're back in isolation and we're back in lockdown and feeling disconnected from people, and being able to show up completely as the artist that I am has been really great for the relationships that I have. You know, I find now when I meet new people, I don't shy away from telling them about what I do. Like, I almost bring it up sometimes in the first meeting, because I found that hiding myself or hiding this part of myself is harder than just showing up and being fully myself, and I've made better connections that way. The shame is still there in some aspects. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, every time I post a new drawing, I have that feeling of like, ooh, is this too much? Is this the one that's going to put me over the edge or just be too much to handle? But I post anyways because I've made it, and I've kind of made this decision that if something comes from me, if I've made it with my hands, then it can't be bad. You know, if I've made it, if I've created it, even if it's not good or someone doesn't like it, it's still good because it's come from me, you know?
Oh, that's so beautiful. It's really nice to hear. And I think it's just really validating to decide consciously to walk away from shame and to just accept whatever comes and whatever desire comes, and to say that, yes, it's good because it exists. And I think society, whatever it is, like, is slowly transforming itself in regard to be more open and accept different kind of, like, sexual expressions. Like, we can see this by, like, I think 20 years ago, the relationship with BDSM and kink, for example, in the public life was way different than what it is now. Like, they can talk about it, even if it's, they represent it bad, like, they talk about it sometimes even publicly. So I think those kind of, like, act of bravery in terms of showing your full self in the art that you do is definitely very transformative.
Yeah, thanks so much for saying that. And it's true, like, I find that just like kink and BDSM, it is more mainstream, you know, and people are talking about it more and more. People are admitting that they're interested. And I think that's awesome. Honestly, I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I think that a society that still has so much shame about sex is like that vital energy. It doesn't have to be necessarily just genital sex. It's like your whole libido, like, desire, if, like, it's that blocked, anyway, like, where does that energy go, you know? What does it block elsewhere in the whole society? So I definitely think it's a good thing. And I'm curious about, like, do you have other outlets than Instagram, because you're talking about censorship? Where do you share this art, or do you have any other desire about, like, sharing this art elsewhere?
For now, it seems to just be on Instagram. But I'm, honestly, I have a little bit of anxiety every day because I get a lot of my posts banned, or deleted. And I get a lot of warnings, and I was able to deal with it because I can kind of compartmentalize, you know, social media is something that's offline. You know, like, it doesn't really exist, or I can kind of put it aside. But most recently, I was banned from printing at the print shop that I've been using for printing my prints. Because I do have an Etsy shop where I sell some prints, and that shop recently blocked me. And that was really difficult to accept because I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, but at the same time, I think I'm just making drawings, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's making people uncomfortable, or, you know, they're blocking me from printing, it's going to block me in other places, you know? I don't know. For now, I'm just creating. I make these a lot. I've make so many all the time. I'm constantly drawing every single day. I'd like people to engage with me more, I guess, about it. Like, I have different ideas for what it could be. Like, I would love to have people send me, like selfies or photos of them if they feel comfortable, that I could draw, just to kind of, like, because right now I'm kind of limited to the people that I have in my life right now. And those are mostly the subjects and the people that I'm drawing. So it would be cool to have people that I don't know sending me stuff and kind of broadening my queer community outreach in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you want to talk us more about your artistic process? Like, how do you choose the scenes? Or, like, you're saying that the models are people in your life, but, like, how does it happen? How do you create?
It really depends, but sometimes I do it from photographs that I've taken myself. And sometimes it's scenes that I want to be experiencing or that I've thought about or that someone's told me about. And what I found is that a lot of times, because I do work from photos, I work from reference, but oftentimes I have to switch up the genders so that it's more diverse. So, like, for example, I'm trying to think of one that I did recently. Like, I did one with three women kissing, and I got the general reference from a photo of two women and a guy. But because I studied anatomy, I went to art school, so I know how the body is. I can use that as reference for, like, the shape of things, but then I'll have to switch it up so that I put more of, like, a feminine, you know, anatomy onto them. Or another example is that I often, really often, make my characters fatter than they are, because I found that, you know, I'm not, like, taking photographs every week. I mean, it is a pandemic. Like, I'm not taking pictures of people having sex, or I'm not having that many partners at this moment. So I'll find photos, but I'll make them fatter, or I'll make them imperfect, or I'll switch up the genders just so that, like, it's what I want to see. Because even in porn, even in the images that I research for reference, it's still really binary, and it's still really male-centric. Like, for example, a blowjob, you know? Lesbians give each other blowjobs.
I think it's the first picture that I saw, the first drawing that I saw of you, like, this drawing of lesbians, like, giving each other, like, one lesbian giving a blowjob to the other one on a strap-on. And I think it's one of the first time that I saw something that I had never seen this before. And it's definitely not something that is uncommon in the queer world. And I was really intrigued and curious about your process when I saw this drawing, because it made sense. It felt like it was not coming from something outside of the community, right?
You find that one comes out of the community?
No. I felt like it was very clear that the artist who made that picture was inside the community, right? Because I had never seen something that was so accurate, that represented like queer and like lesbians' desire, like that, definitely.
Oh, it makes me really happy to hear, because, I've never seen that before either, but we definitely do it, you know? But finding a good reference image for it is pretty much impossible, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting also how, like, queer desires, like, change over time, because I remember seeing documentaries about lesbian desire in the 70s, and at the time, if you had desire for strap-ons, like, you were kind of, like, it was almost evil, you know, because it was phallic, and mm-hmm. like, you couldn't have that kind of desire, and it changed so much. And I don't know, I think it's interesting to see how art changed in regard to that, and how it makes, how contemporary art reflects the kind of desires that people have, and how collectively those desires tend to change a bit together, like in very different ways.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, even like the emphasis on, vaginas or vulvas, having that be like the ideal lesbian experience, you know, I don't think that's true anymore for most queer people. And like embracing strap-ons or embracing that you want a strap-on or you might want to fuck somebody or be fucked by somebody else or give someone a blowjob but not want to give a cis man a blowjob, let's say, and have that be totally valid and fine. It's really beautiful to see. I mean, I remember, you know, like, I'm 29, so, like, I remember early 2000s lesbian culture and how, like, you know, being, like, a gold star lesbian was, like, super glorified, right? Like, you've never slept with a man. And I don't really see that anymore. Like, I don't really see people being so, like, hung up on the genders that you've had sex with and having that, like, diminish your queerness. Yeah. But it's hard to find. Like, I don't find that I find it really hard to find good queer porn, you know?
Yeah.
I still find it really hard to find.
The only thing that I like right now is the queer audio stories in Dipsy.
Yeah.
Honestly. But apart from that, like, everything is disappointing and just sad.
Yeah, well, it's still really... I don't know, it's, like, really white and not just that, but also very... I can just tell that they're not enjoying it. Because I don't care, really, what they look like, but I can tell that they're not enjoying it. There's, like, a man behind the camera, or there's, like, an intention behind the film that's not for me, and it's probably not for any other queer person, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at lesbian porn, mainstream lesbian porn.
No, definitely. And how did you start it, even, to do erotica? Like, you said you started that even in art school.
I actually had my friends remind me, because I thought that this was a new thing that I had been doing. And I had some friends remind me of drawings that I was making in high school. And, like, I don't know, I guess I've just been always really interested in sex. And it's come out in my work. I remember I did a series in, like, 2015 called, like, the Blowjob Series, where I was in this, like, queer collective art show with these drawings of, like, scenes of a blowjob, but I would cut out the penis. Mm. It was just, like, different people giving blowjobs, but I would just draw the outline of the person giving the blowjob. And just because I've always felt like porn... I guess I just always had a problem with mainstream porn being so hung up on, like, these close-ups of genitals or, like, these close-ups of, like, these really graphic, like, just body parts shoving together, and it just, it's not sex to me, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that what I like about your drawing is that it's definitely way more than the act of sex itself. Like, a lot of your drawing don't even necessarily represent a sexual act, necessarily, but more like a desire, like a feeling, or like an encounter. And there's so much about the creation of the feeling of the space. I'm not exactly sure what words I can use to describe this, but it really feels like a scene or like a fantasy, or like I can almost hear the storyline and the characters. And I think that's what I find very refreshing about your art, because yeah, like, you can see a connection between the characters in your drawings, which is actually what I am craving when I want to, like, delve into my erotic world.
Yeah, right on. Thank you so much for saying that. It makes me really happy, because I am trying to do and draw what I want, you know, or what I've experienced. Or what I want to experience. Like, I can't say that I've done everything that I've shown, but almost. But some of it is stuff that I want to do or that I haven't had a chance to do yet. but I've always been really focused on, like, intimacy, I guess, is, like, the best word. Because you can have sex with someone that you're not in, like, a committed, you know, whatever relationship with, and still have it be beautiful and sweet and sexy and amazing. And I just, I love that about the possibility of sex. And I love that about drawing sex.
Yeah, and I think it's also nice to set the bar for that kind of connection, because I think somehow, anyway, for me, I have this story that if you have casual sex, not in a relationship, it's supposed to be detached, or it's supposed to be not involved emotionally. And I realize that it's just really not something that gives me any kind of pleasure. And like creating new stories about what kind of intimacy and vulnerability you can give yourself permission to experience, even in casual encounters. Maybe you'll never see this person again, or maybe you'll see them a few times, maybe whatever, that you can be vulnerable and have deep pleasure and show yourself fully, even if you're not, quote unquote, like developing a secure bond with this person. And I think that's something that's really beautiful and that is not necessarily depicted or represented, or that I haven't heard a lot about.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's, I've never been okay with the idea of, like, just even calling it casual sex. Like, what does that even mean? I don't think sex is casual at all. Like, I think it's the most intense thing you could do with another person. But it doesn't have to be bound up in all of these, like, restrictions, or, like, you could just kind of communicate what you want, and be kind and be sweet and be sexy, and I think that's erotic and that's sexy. I've always found that difficult, like, when I was dating, like, cis guys, it was just always, like, either you're looking for a girlfriend or you're looking for, like, a friend with benefits or something, you know?
You're right.
And then you can find it in the queer community as well, and women as well, and non-binary people. It's everywhere. But
it kind of ties, I like what you say about the fact that, like, sex is actually really intense, and somehow it makes me think that when we are trying to say, no, it's just casual, like, where does that come from? And it brings me back to when we were talking about shame, like, is it shame to, like, want to have, like, sex only for sex without, like, love and interest, like, that desire of wanting to, like, diminish it, or, like, to make it smaller or less important than it is? Like, no, it's not serious, it's just casual sex. What if it is very important and intense and a deep space of creation and connection with someone else? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that you have to, like, climb that relationship escalator, but you can still mm-hmm. access deep connection with someone else because you decided it consensually without... Yeah, there's something for me about, like, yeah, just trespassing, like, going beyond this sense of shame to what sexuality is supposed to be.
Yeah, I think you're totally right that it's definitely tied into shame. I had a lot of shame. It's been, like, a long time's work for me. Every time I make a new drawing, it's, like, erasing some of that shame. I don't know why there's, like, this distance that we want to put between ourselves, maybe, and our bodies, or, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And what about the future? Like, where do you see yourself, like, in a few months, in a few years, as an erotica artist? What are you dreaming of?
What am I dreaming of? I would like to still be online. I think that there's, like, a serious risk that I'm going to be banned, that I think about a lot. That's why sometimes I try to tone it down for a couple of posts, like, in terms of, like, what I'm showing. But I guess I just want to be making more stuff. I'd love to be connecting more with other queer artists in Montreal. I don't know, like, maybe doing some more stuff, like, in a more public way. I've been thinking a lot about maybe doing, like, some street art. Like, I've done a little bit of street art, but nothing really that crazy, but I'd love to do, like, some big, grand, large-scale prints that I would kind of paste on walls.
That would be very bold and impressive. That would be really cool.
I would love to do that. I would really love to do that. But yeah, I guess I just want to keep making art, keep doing it.
That's amazing. And is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you would like to share with the CKUT public?
Just like thank you. Thank you to people who have messaged me and who like my stuff and who have shared it. I'm definitely shadow banned off of Instagram, so I'm not actually, they're not showing my stuff if I use hashtags or whatever. So I know that anytime I get like new people, it's just because people have shared my art. So thanks so much for that. Don't be shy to send me messages and send me selfies, because I really love drawing people that actually exist and not just fantasies in my head. Yeah.
And for people who don't know where to find you yet, where can we reach you? Where can we see your art?
You can find me at queer.mtl on Instagram. And I also have a link to an Etsy shop on there as well, if you'd like to buy prints.
Amazing. I encourage everyone to go see Sarah's art and to go buy some prints. They're really beautiful and colorful. Thank you so much, Sarah, for your time, and I hope you're going to have a really good evening.
Thank you, you too. It's been really great talking.
Okay, pour toi, soudain, le poids des journées plus si lourd. Voilà que sans savoir pourquoi, soudain, tu ris. Voilà que sans savoir pourquoi, soudain, tu vis. Car te voilà, oui, te voilà. Amoureuse, 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 tellement amoureuse. C'est vrai, alors le gris du ciel n'est plus si gris. C'est vrai, alors le poids des jours n'est plus si lourd. C'est vrai, alors soudain tu sais pourquoi tu ris. C'est vrai, alors soudain tu sais pourquoi tu vis. Car il est là, oui il est là. Amoureuse, 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 tellement amoureuse. Et puis soudain le gris du ciel redevient gris. Et puis soudain le poids des jours redevient lourd. Tout est fini, l'amour se meurt. Il est parti, et toi tu pleures. Et c'est fini, oui c'est fini. Malheureuse, malheureuse.
On vient d'entendre Amoureuse de l'impeccable Barbara, ma préf, pour lancer cette playlist de Saint-Valentin pour les cœurs isolés. Donc, si vous êtes célibataire ou vous avez le cœur brisé ou que votre couple est à la dérive, cette playlist est pour vous. Et en gros, j'espère qu'elle va vous faire du bien, qu'elle va vous amener dans un autre headspace. Donc, on poursuit tout de suite avec Lonely de Swamp Dog, sorti son excellent album Love, Loss and Auto-Tune, qui est vraiment un super bon breakup album. Enjoy!
Women don't want no other women, but you just seem to be like, you gotta have every man in town. I out of town too, I guess, cause I be at work, I don't know what's going on. But I still love you and I want you. I mean, let's just give it a real try. Damn, I'm lonely, Mom. I've been working 16, 18 hours a day. And I come home and just watch television and be lonely. I'm so lonely. I get lonely for you, baby. Yes, it's you I want. Only baby, ain't no woman been in my life since I met you. That's why I can't figure out why you doing the thing that you do. Is it because I work two jobs and bore my money home that made you feel neglected, rejected?
Yeah. I guess I just never knew how big nothing could be.
Entendre Big Nothing de The Roaches. Trois sœurs pas assez connues à mon goût. Je trouve que leurs harmonies sont hyper sophistiquées, leurs textes sont vraiment drôles. Elles ont une petite saveur unique, là, un petit je ne sais quoi. Et on enchaîne tout de suite avec Song About Sex, une chanson de Seamus, sortie de son album Pieces in Space. Honnêtement, tellement bon. Écoutez ça.
home, say around a quarter to three. Still so high, hypnotized in a trance from the spotty, so buttery brown and tantalizing. You would have thought I needed help from this feeling that I felt. So shook, I had to catch my breath. Oops, there goes my shirt up over my was happening. Swallow my pride, let it ride and parted. But this body felt just like mine. I got worried. I looked over to the left, a reflection of myself. That's why I couldn't catch my breath. Oops, there goes my shirt up over my head. Oh my, oh my. Oops, there goes my skirt dropping to my feet. Oh my.
So good, I couldn't reject myself.
I looked over to the left.
I was feeling so good, I had to touch myself.
I looked over to the left.
I was eyeing my guys, but a peek came around.
I looked over to the left.
Coming out of my shirt, and then my skirt came down.
Oops, there goes my shirt up over my head.
Vous avez probablement reconnu le dernier hit qui a joué, Oops, Oh My, de Tweet, featuring Missy Elliott. Un grand classique des années 2000 et surtout une grande ode à la masturbation. C'est déjà la fin de l'émission, j'espère que vous avez passé un bon moment avec Minuit et avec moi. Je m'appelle Miss Allium, ça m'a fait plaisir de curate une couple de chansons pour vous. Et on va finir ça en beauté avec une icône bisexuelle du folk, et j'ai nommé Peggy Seeger, avec sa super belle chanson sur l'amitié, Love Call Me Home.
When the waters are deep, friends carry me over. When I cry in my sleep, love call me home.
a chance for friends to carry us over. Time can stop or dance forever, love, call me home. Time ferry me down the river, friends carry me safely over. Life, tend me on my journey, love, call me home. Time ferry me down, carry me safely over. Life, tend me on my journey, love, call me home.
Put it down now, let me see the cash, put your ass out. See the crash, watch the world spin. I'm a smoke stash, I'm a bad bitch. You're a bitch, that's bad, I'm a habit. You're a random girl in the bathroom, snoring on the windowsill. You work in fashion, you got time to kill. It's a weekend, but you feel weaker still. Watch them clapping, it's another show. Watch them glisten like the underwater girls are leaking. You in the mosh pit, swirling, you're geeking. It's another world. If a man is a man, if a man is a man, if a man is a man, then a woman is a god.
You look sluggish, you gotta make a bruise, they know your name now. You try to keep you cool, but a moment's past your momentum stills in the back of
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, friends and comrades. This is Doug Miller here at Amandla Radio with Gwen. We're at home here with Amandla Radio, using the wonders of Zoom to get all these news items that we have about Africa for you on the air. And we hope that you're finding that the material we're providing is giving you insights that you will not find elsewhere. Tonight, I have to commemorate the passing of Paul Farmer, medical doctor and absolute wunderkind of the medical profession in terms of international public health. I'll tell you more about him later on in the show. Gwen, what have you got?
Well, one of my favorite go-to places to read and listen is Africa as a Country. So for those of our listeners who are not familiar with this website, I plead with you, go and kick back and enjoy reading and listening to what they produce. They really are outstanding. And so we're going to be playing a piece produced by them. Back in 2019, South African dairy giant Clover was taken over by Milko, which is a consortium led by Israel's Central Bottling Company. And it's been labor strife ever since. In 2021, the Clover workers in South Africa went